I've been talking in our first session this morning about letting our light shine and how important that is for us, and maybe to look at it just slightly different than how we may have in the past. The fact that it's Jesus shining from us by how we reflect Him, and not just us shining our lights as if it were our own to shine. This last song that we were talking about had the idea of those that stand before a leader. And as we talk about Bill being in the Navy, and you think about other military organizations, you know, one of the things they do is they call all those men and women out, and they stand before a commander or sometimes even generals and other military leaders, because they present themselves out there. And the reason they stand out there is so they're fully visible by the person that they answer to. And a lot of times you see shows, a lot of the TV sitcoms that were out in the 70s, have people come out and they're all shoddy, and generals are always having to straighten them up and get them back in condition. Well, the condition that they come out there in is the reason that they're out there in full view is to make sure that they are ready, that they are presented the way that they should be. And that song was kind of alluding to the fact that we present ourselves to Christ. Christ is looking at us, and so that goes along nicely with our study today about shining the light. Darkness is the opposite of light, and I thought it would be a good segue from that lesson to this one. I've done a lesson also about the darkness. I think if you remember, and you may have a tendency to try to forget my lessons if you can, but hopefully they've not been too bad. But the lesson then was about turning our lights on, how it makes darkness just go away. And we're looking at that a little bit today, but remember, as we talked about before, is letting Christ shine in us and reflecting that light from Him. We need to talk about darkness too, because we all have been in darkness at some point. And much of the world today is in darkness. Much of the world in the past has been in darkness. And it will go on being that way for a long time to come. We're going to look at this darkness and why we shine our light. I always like to go back to the beginning, and I probably go back frequently to Genesis in the first couple chapters to look at things. And when we read, it says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and He called the light day, and He called the darkness night. So the evening and the morning were the first day." We talked about last lesson. There's a couple bullets that I wanted you to hang on to, and hopefully your memory, your short-term memory, is a little bit better than mine, because mine's not so great. But these two bullets are a couple more that I'd like you to think about from this lesson. You know, darkness needs nothing to exist. Darkness by itself is nothing. And even the way that I've written it there, it was easy to exist. It doesn't exist. Darkness is a void. And it's kind of hard for us to talk about. It's just something that is just the pure absence of light. That's what darkness is. We refer to dark when we have less light. We often don't have total darkness. In lessons I've talked about in the past, we always allude to caves, and we've all been to places, and we've talked about that and how dark it is inside there. When you go back to the beginning of time, without God, there was just darkness. And we even see that in the creation here. It says, let there be light. The very beginning, there was just nothing there. God was existing because He created the light there. But darkness was just this thing, this emptiness that had nothing visible in there. But light is something that's life, it's energy, it has to be made. And I was thinking about going back to the lesson that we did for our gospel meeting a couple years ago, when Abe was talking about the evidences of the Bible and, you know, of God. You know, we talk about a lot of things to people, and we try to convince them that there is a God. And everybody can understand that there is darkness, there is emptiness, there is space. But when you go out and you see each one of those little lights out there, and you know, we know what our sun is. Any of us that have been in science class at any point in our lives, even probably both my kids, have gone in classes with their teachers, and they say, yes, the sun is this huge ball of gases, and these gases just keep burning and burning and burning, and the thing is, they're in the void of space. They're in a vacuum of cold, empty nothing. And yet that sun is out there just burning, full of energy, full of power, providing heat to us as far away from the sun as we are, 3 million miles or whatever the scientists tell us we are from the sun. And it's that far away, but it can still burn our skin. It can still warm our cars up. But when we go out there after a church or after work, the car's nice and warm when you get in there on a cool day. It just warms the atmosphere. That ball of fire, a living ball of fire out there in that nothing. That alone should be something that we can use as an example to tell people there is something out there. There is something greater than what this nothing is that you're convinced of. Because something like that, something that powerful, something that great, no matter how far back in the scientific theories that you go, could not have come from nothing. It just is impossible. It has life in it. It is energy. It had to come from somewhere. So people are often lost in darkness from missing this very simple fact. We talked about the need for a Christian to let our light shine. And this need is because without light, darkness will consume us. Not kind of going along with the idea about the reflectiveness of a light like we talked about the first lesson, but for analogy and for just for us to think about. We talked about caves and the darkness of caves. You can light one little match in a cave and it'll provide significant light. Even a lot of us, we've had some crazy weather lately, and you ever been at night and you know the power just went out, and you ever been asleep there and you hear that sudden, there's just nothing. You don't hear the furnace anymore. You don't hear the fan running. You don't hear the buzz of lights, or maybe the glow of the radio, a clock radio beside you just goes out. It is just blackout. And often when that happens, the street lights, if you have any around you, are out. It's dark. And you fumble around, you try to find a match. That match for that moment is your light source. You want to try to light some candles if you can, but for just a while, you can walk around. And probably what happens with most of us, we just pull our phones off of someplace and go, okay, where am I doing here? That's what we do. We just take that little light that glows from that light. That little bit of light is very helpful at that moment. But for this analogy, a match lit in a cave will provide significant light in the absence of light. But its energy must be spent to work. You know, you don't strike a match and it just magically start providing light just because of what it is. It's actually a chemical reaction because of the gunpowder that's on there and the sodium and all the things that I can't tell you scientifically are on that match have been ignited. They're burning away, just like the sun burning in the vacuum of space. But a match in a box can have everything it needs to strike and to light and to provide light for someone in need. But if it's in that box, it will not use energy, even though it has the ability to, and it will be unused. It will not do anything. And we can be like that as Christians sometimes. We can have everything that we need to, but if we're not using the energy that we've been given, if we're not reflecting that light like we talked about in that first lesson, we're of no value. If we had no sun, you ever wonder how we could survive? I mean, we talk about a lot of terrible theories, and a lot of movies have been made about that. Scientists tell us that within a week, the Earth would drop to a temperature globally of 0 degrees Fahrenheit. So we get frustrated when it gets in the 50s or in the 30s or something like that. The entire world going down to 0 degrees. Within a year, the entire planet would be at 100 degrees negative Fahrenheit. That's pretty cold. The fact that it goes on and it talks about that because the Earth has a core and because there's still heat, relevant heat around, it might last for a little while, but basically all life is going to die. Because darkness is death. That's just a fact. There's things that live in places like caves. There's things that live in dark places. But they all are dependent on food sources that eventually lead back to light. Without light, we would die. So just like life can't exist without light, without heat, without power of creation, it can't continue on either. Romans 1, 18-22 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, became what being known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." We talked about that in class again today too, about how looking around, we know that God exists because we can see all these things. Well, the question when we're talking about darkness is, how can we see those things if we can't see them? Sounds kind of silly, but that's the truth. We can't see what God did if there was no light. We could not be alive without light. And so in darkness, in sin, there is just nothing there to help us see what's going on. And as we go back to that first lesson, it just puts that much more importance to us as Christians to make sure our light are a reflective nature of Christ. Without God, none see light. In Job 12:24-25 says, "He takes away the understanding of the chiefs of the people of the earth and makes them wander in pathless wilderness. They grope in the dark without light, and He makes them stagger like drunken men. Doesn't matter how small or how powerful people are, darkness pretty much puts us down to a level that we just simply can barely get by, and often we can't. Here it says God takes away the understanding of those people, people that let themselves get to where they think they know what's going on. And we know that life is in the light. John 3:36 says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, but he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." So, again, if we want to have that life, we need to look for the light. And without it, we are just lost in the darkness. So how can light come from darkness? In Romans 10:14 says, "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" We've talked about this passage a number of times lately, and it talks about other ways that we can vocalize Christ, other ways that we can vocalize the Bible to before people. And again, the contrast here, people in darkness aren't going to see light ever. They may be living their lives here on earth and they have the sun coming up. But when we're talking about spiritual darkness, they're always going to be in this fog, unable to see, unless somebody comes before them doing the right things. And the right things is emanating Christ. Again, it says, how are they going to see all these things? How are they going to hear all these things unless somebody makes it known to them? We're also lost in darkness without God's love. Isaiah 42:16 says, "I'll bring the blind by the way that they did not know, and I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and the crooked places straight. These things I will do for them, and not forsake them." God loves all people. He loved us. He loves people that are in the world, even the people that are sinning sins that are just the wrongest thing that you could possibly imagine. People that are going to prison for doing things wrong. And He said, those people are all lost. They're all in these places where they don't even know where they're walking. But I will help them to see it. I love them, and I'll make sure that this darkness is gone and it's turned to light. And these places that are crooked and you can't find your way around, I'll make them so that they're straightened out. But again, that goes back to what we talked about before, having a good example of what Christ wants from us. So who could bring light from darkness, really? Job 12:22 says, "He uncovers deep things out of darkness and brings the shadow of death to light." Another thing, when we're talking to people about the evidence of God and the fact that He has to exist, who else is going to be able to do something like that? You can be a really good scientist and you can look at a lot of dead rocks and a lot of cold stone, and you have to even ask yourself, how could a sun exist? When I look out there and I see all these stars at night, I know all those are burning balls of fire just like our sun. How is that possible? They could not have come from static material. And then again, I have to ask myself, where did all that static material come from? I mean, there's some really, really difficult things that people will try to tell you about life and about creation and about matter, the things that we are today, that simply can't be by most scientific explanation. And it's God who gave us the light and who leads it, who lead others to it. 2 Corinthians 4:6, "For it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus," or Jesus Christ. So again, kind of lumping a couple things together, it reminds us that God created light in the first place, but God created light in the second place, His Son, Jesus. And it is in Him that we are able to take this and to give light and to give knowledge of the glory of God to others, those people that are wandering in darkness. All of us were in darkness until we were found. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him." And it wasn't automatic. It wasn't something that just was absolutely automatic for people. He says, "I just told you all these things because Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." So we are the chosen generation because He called us out of darkness. We are a royal priesthood because He called us out of darkness. We are the holy nation because of that. His own special people, Christ's own special people, because He called us out of darkness. That you may proclaim His praises of Him who called you out of that darkness. So again, it's also going back to what we said before, that reflective nature of a Christian is to be just like the moon and the sun's relationship. So why would we not shine that light on those who are in the dark? Would we hide it from them? If we are those people, if we were those people, why would we not do those things? If that light is out there, and it's Christ and God who want us to get out of that darkness and straighten our paths and to make our way straight, why would we cause a problem for somebody by not shining our light from Christ onto them. The reason most of us need to be conscious of all the time is because we don't want the punishment of Satan and his angels. 2 Peter 2:4 says, God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. They didn't get cast down into a place that was comfortable for them to stay for a little while and stay in this low security prison and enjoy some things. So they were cast down into chains of darkness, into hell. And Luke 10 says, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on the serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Thinking about here, serpents and scorpions, they like dark places. They like getting under rocks, and they like getting into cellars and basements and wherever places are like that. They don't like the light very much. That's where they want to be at. And you ever think about this too? This verse tells us that Satan didn't get cast down and slowly make this real gentle descent from heaven down to hell. It says that he descended like lightning. And we all probably saw some lightning last night. We went to Kings Island for Katie's event yesterday, and we were coming back home, and it was lightning pretty good. And it was pouring the rain. You see how fast lightning is. They tell you that that goes from the ground to the sky. When you see it, it just looks like it comes straight down from the clouds. It's fast. So that happened that fast. So our God so unhappy what Satan was doing when he was with him at one time, shot him down that quickly. Lost in darkness. You know, darkness is good for sleep, but it's certainly not good for living. We all like to go to sleep at night, close our eyes, and just the day go away and to regenerate. That's how God created us. Some of us really like the dark. We like the door shut and the lights turned off, and we just can't go to sleep without it. Other people like all the lights left on. I'm kind of in the middle. I kind of like the darkness there for me. But it's not good for living. We don't like waking up and not having lights. We don't like waking up and looking outside and like, ah, man, it's raining again. I think Ohio is kind of starting to get a reputation that Seattle's had for a long time. It just rains and rains and rains. Romans 13 says, and do this, knowing the time, that now it's high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in the lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. We see a couple things that happen in the light versus things that happen in the day. And over, when you read scriptures, especially the New Testament, whenever it tells us to get into the light, to come out of darkness, it's saying, I know you're probably in there already. You're in a place that's not going to be absolutely pure, or you haven't been at that place. So when we have commands like this, it's telling us that we need to get out of something that might be easy for us, to get out of that darkness. And again, the moon is not going to be shining for anybody if it's hiding behind the earth. Try to keep that in mind. I shortened this one because I knew that first one was going to be a little bit long. But as we think about shining the light of Christ in our lives, first lesson, Jesus is a perfect light. We all know that. We've read it. Many of us have read it since we were young. He is so perfect, we can't even imagine it. I was thinking of Moses. Remember when he came down off the mountain and he was so glowing because of the glory of God that was shining off him? He had to put a veil over his face. Just such a powerful message, saying God is that intense. And if you doubt that, again, I've said this over and over again when we talk about the majesty of God. Look at creation. Look at the world. Think about how far you've driven in your life. And then put that on a map. And then look how big the world is in comparison. Yeah, you've gone between Kentucky and Ohio. Yeah, you've gone between Tennessee and Ohio. Yeah, you've gone from Colorado to the East Coast. That's one little speck on a planet that is enormous. And that's one planet of a solar system, of a universe, a galaxy, or however you look at it. And there's still one creator. Darkness can exist and nothing have to matter. But in order for things to be, something had to create it. Something had to work there. So as we talk about conclusion, being lost in darkness, as we've segued into this, there's nothing to darkness. It's empty. It's void of life. There's nothing there. Life is opposed to darkness. It is and it lives. That's just the fact of it. Darkness is just death. It's nothing. And I think any time that you've ever done any studying about what the astronauts deal with, it's the cold, void, vacuum of space, to think about something, to think about us walking around on this planet breathing, and trees growing, and water running, and it's in contrast to space. Life needs light, and light is not a product of darkness. Darkness cannot produce light. It's just the simplest basic facts we can look at. Life and light were created. We are products of that creation. And the Creator offers us life forever in the light. So spread it, live it, be thankful for it, and regard it highly. The fact that we have this light. So this morning, we've had two lessons in contrast to each other very much. We've talked about Christ being the light. We've talked about us being a reflection of that light. How do we do that? We try to live just as Christ has asked us to live. We try to live our lives in such a way that if Christ was here now, he said, yeah, that's my son. I'm proud of him. Mothers, that's what we try to do. I guess Nick's doing a really good job of it, making Pam so happy. And Nathan said he wasn't, but I think he was just being nice there. I'm sure he's doing just a good job. We like when our moms or our dads get beside us and say, yeah, this is my son. I'm proud of them. I'm proud of what they do. And we want to look to our kids and say, my daughters did a great thing. Or my son, he did a great thing. We want to be like that with God and Christ. We want God and Christ saying, that's my boy. Or that's my girl. That is the reflection. That's the goal that we want to have. If we can't do that, we need to keep working at it. And it's not an easy thing to work at. Just the other lessons we've talked about, polishing, keeping things polished. Sometimes the brilliance of a reflection is based on the care that it takes in making sure that reflection is maintained. So sometimes we let things get hazy on us. We need to make sure that doesn't happen. But most of all, we've got to stand right in front of the sun at all times, as much as we can. And we've got to remember that darkness is so easy to be around us. It's everywhere. It's easy to fall into. It's hard to come out of. And for people that don't know about the light, they can't see to find their way. So we have an element to play in all those things. So this morning, take the songbook that's been selected. If you have any needs to be known, please let that be known as we stand and sing.